The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Now think about this, for more than a century, America's most celebrated heroes and legends have made history inside this iconic arena. This, where we stand, is where the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, faced Joe Frazier in the fight of the century. It's where the king, Elvis Presley, played for 80,000 screaming fans. It's where the immortal Hulk Hogan pinned the Iron Sheik and let Hulkamania run wild. And now, on the eve of the most important election in our history, the greatest champion of them all, Donald J. Trump, has come to Madison Square Garden.
Hello, New York! Join me as I say these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As we gather here today on this historic occasion, we stand together as proud Americans in understanding that these very rights are under attack.
A lot of people ask me why I left the Democratic Party. And I say, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to win. I know that that's true. Why is Donald Trump going to win? The people he's about to defeat have no idea. And they're panicked. They have no idea why people like Donald Trump. And their first theory was, well, Donald Trump is evil, so half the country's evil also. And that's one of the reasons they spent the last 4 years trying to destroy the country, because they're mad at its voters for liking Donald Trump. How much easier would it have been just to pause for 20 minutes and ask yourself honestly in some silent place, why do people like Donald Trump? And if they had been honest enough to ask themselves that question, they would have come up with the two main reasons, and here's what they are. The first reason that people like Donald Trump is because he likes them. That's why. And it's real. Affection is something you can't fake. I don't care how many times Kamala Harris would tell me she loves me, I don't believe her. I saw her kiss her husband with a mask on. A mask on. That's her version of love. It's fake. It's not real. They spent 10 years telling you Trump is a hater. Do you feel that on him? No, you don't. Because it's not there. I've spent a lot of time with Trump. And there's not one moment I've ever been with him off camera where he's spending his time grousing about people he hates. Ever. He's talking about the people and the country he loves in his private time. Trust me.
And America's just not just going to be great. America is going to reach heights that it has never seen before. The future is going to be amazing! Now, you guys are awesome. Honestly, this is like, yeah. I mean, this is the kind of positive energy that America is all about.
Lots of joy and vibes at the Nazi rally last night at the Madison Square Garden rally. Donald Trump showing up in deep, dark blue New York City to a sold-out crowd with tens of thousands outside for the overflow. You know, you look at the speakers, Elon Musk right there, just a few years ago, couldn't stand Trump. Couldn't stand him. Tucker, for his part, I don't think he was ever a radical Democrat, but he certainly had his moments years ago where he wasn't a big fan of Trump. Tulsi Gabbard, she was a Democrat not that long ago. RFK, he was a radical Democrat. Not that long. He's telling everyone there, the party left me. Look at all of these people that Donald Trump has welcomed into this ever-expanding MAGA tent. It really is remarkable to see. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com and also at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment. If you'd like to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So I'm still not 100%, but listen, this show, if you've got us at 50%, that's still much, much better than the morning meltdown. Every day, listening to the opening monologue today as Joe tries to say, listen, it's a toss-up. They're neck and neck. And I don't know why the Trump people are sounding so confident. To me, it reminds me of Mitt Romney's campaign in 2012. So there's Joe Scarborough comparing the MAGA movement, the Trump movement, to Mitt Romney of all things. Now, I'm not standing here saying that Trump's absolutely going to win, but how does this happen? He goes into New York City. New York City. And there's people lining up 24 hours in advance. I mean, every false narrative they've said about Trump's rallies, it blew up last night. People waiting in line, and then the rally goes on for hours and hours. I was on the floor trying to recuperate from my sickness. Every time I woke up, I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good speaker to have online as well. One after another, and then Trump caps it off. They had everybody from all different walks of life. And then, I mean, a lot of Jews showed up for the so-called Nazi rally. I'll play you the montage later. These people, comparing it to a Nazi rally in 1939, are they serious? You just heard a little sampling of it last night. Elon was right. Lots of joy, lots of vibes. You had Elon dancing again. I think she's lost the joy. She's too busy talking about Hitler. Donald Trump is Hitler. Obama, for his part, a week ago, I can't understand. When did we become so divisive? I mean, how did this happen? Well, listen to the regime media. They're at MSNBC, they're running side by sides with the MSG rally last night and one that took place in 1939 in support of the Nazis. MSNBC did this. There are a few honest journalists, not that many. I don't think Jonathan Carl, as a rule, is very honest. But he told the truth about the Trump rally last night. This is clip 18.
Look, I was there for about 6 hours yesterday. First thing I've got to say, Madison Square Garden was packed. People waited hours to get in. They sat through hour after hour of this rally. They were fervent in their devotion to all things Trump. Trump has created a movement. There is no doubt. I cannot think of another Republican figure of my lifetime who could have come into a Democratic city like New York and put together anything like that.
Who else could do this? I mean, you got to give Carl credit because he gave Trump credit. I can't think of any other Republican in my lifetime that could have pulled this off. You think that would have happened for Mitt Romney? Or what about some of the Republicans today? What about Mitch McConnell? What if Mitch McConnell had a rally scheduled for New York City? How many people do you think would line up 24 hours in advance? Karl Rove? George Bush? Any of them? Instead of, now again, Carl at least pointed out the obvious. But everyone else, it seems, they're tripping over the Hitler comparison. That's all that they can think of to try to counter this. They know the movement is gaining strength. They know there's just 8 days left. They see the internal polling. Carl mentioned the crowds that were lining up. I mean, we've got, you can play 21 alongside. They were lining up 24 hours in advance, and it just goes on and on. The NYPD estimated there were 70,000 people outside. So 20,000 inside and 70,000 outside. I don't think Kamala Harris could have pulled this off in downtown New York, her home turf. Trump's triumphant return to New York. Here, this man has had more to do with building the skyline of New York City than any other real estate builder. And New York City, how do they thank him? Well, at least the radical Democrats in charge of the city, by trying to destroy his empire, by trying to kick him and his family out of the state. And then last night he makes his triumphant return. And look at who's there to greet him. Look at who's there to speak with him. Nazis. Yeah, all that. I think there was a Holocaust survivor, the New York Post said, that went to the rally as well. And then all kinds of the Jewish population in New York City, they turned out. It's quite the phenomenon that we're witnessing. Just to go back to Elon Musk, I think part of this might have been in the cold open, but play the longer bit here. This is clip one.
How much do you think we can rip out of this wasted $6.5 trillion Harris-Biden budget?
Well, I think we can do at least $2
trillion. Yeah!
Yes.
$2
trillion. I mean, at the end of the day, you're being taxed. All government spending is taxation. So whether it's direct taxation or all government spending, it either becomes inflation or it's direct taxation. Your money is being wasted, and the Department of Government Efficiency is going to fix that. We're going to get the government off your back and out of your pocketbook. America's just not just going to be great. America is going to reach heights that it has never seen before. The future is going to be amazing.
He's referring there to the Department of Government Efficiency. That's the department that Trump says he's going to create to just try to trim the fat. How much can you trim? Elon says, I think we can cut $2 trillion out of the annual budget. $2 trillion! This is a man who knows how to run a business. Same with Trump. Now, Trump likes him some debt. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure Elon Musk has borrowed money before. But they both see just how supersized and bloated government spending has become. It's unsustainable. He's there smiling about his... Imagine the world's richest man deciding to take some cabinet post about making government efficient in the United States. I mean, just like with Trump, that's quite a step down, if you ask me. That's quite a sacrifice. Here's this guy that's firing rockets and landing them on this tower, creating all of these incredible vehicles and whatever else. He's a smart man. And Trump's... he's winning them over. Never mind what he said in that Walter Isaacson biography about Trump. The billionaires are starting to come around, aren't they? This was from the Washington Post. The Post publisher said Friday that the paper will not make an endorsement in this year's presidential contest for the first time in 36 years. So the Washington Post is following in step with the Los Angeles Times. The Times won't endorse Kamala. The Washington Post, will not endorse Kamala. And you know why the Post won't do it? Because Jeff Bezos said so. You know, the owner of the Amazon giant, he owns the Washington Post. He said, no, we're not going to endorse Kamala. Trump is winning over the billionaires. That says a lot. They know what's coming. I mean, 60 Minutes had a segment last night on what it will look like to actually deport millions and millions of illegals. They're already running news segments as if Trump is the winner. Again, we'll see what level of cheating Democrats are able to pull off in some of those cheating strongholds like Philadelphia, Atlanta, you know, Phoenix. The decision announced 11 days before an election. Well, here's another one from the New York Post. Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos wants more conservative opinion writers at the paper. Wow. What could be influencing his move in the conservative direction? Suddenly he wants more balance, more fair and balanced coverage. That's the Washington Post. It says Washington Post owner Bezos has reportedly given the newspaper a mandate to add more conservative voices to its opinion section, even as he remains silent over the broadsheet's decision not to endorse a candidate in the 2024 presidential election. The billionaires are coming around. People are coming out of the shadows all over the place, and we've been drawing attention to this. Just things you would not have seen 3, 4, 5 years ago. Certainly not. Now it's kind of, you know, it's in vogue to be a rebel that's going for Trump on college campuses. Listen, this was from the Sunday night football game last night. This 49ers player, I think they beat the Cowboys. This is the post-game interview. And watch the guy that comes up in the MAGA hat from behind, but then look at his teammates, a white guy, a black guy, look at his teammates start smiling when he crashes the interview, basically. This is clip 6.
Points in the first half. What was said during halftime? Hey, all right. Nick Bosa with a message there.
Bosa's pointing at MAGA. The two guys on the edges are cracking up. You wouldn't have seen this a few years ago. Not a chance. They're coming out of the shadows. Suddenly, you're popular. It's the right thing to do, openly. Now, you still have to, this guy in Boston, he went home from a Trump a rally of some sort and got beat up by a bunch of thugs, a bunch of fascist thugs. Which direction are the bullets flying in, by the way? You know, which people are pummeling MAGA people? They used to do it a lot more. But now it's not quite as dangerous, is it? To come out of the shadows, to come out of the closet and say, I'm all in on MAGA. Well, why can't Scarborough and company just take one moment, like Jonathan Carl did, to give the man some credit? It's remarkable. He goes right into the lion's den, doesn't even think anything of it. He speaks like 2 hours late. Nobody's leaving the arena like they were all saying a few weeks ago. He didn't have to have Beyonce show up and then have everyone disappointed because she didn't sing, like what happened with the Kamala rally. I mean, Kamala has to hire people to show up. They have to bring Beyonce in. They have to bring in the celebrities. Trump he has Tucker, Tulsi, Elon, I mean, these are celebrities, I guess, in their own right. But they just speak. They just have a message. And the rally goes on for hours. Hours. I mean, and that's not like the only thing that happened this weekend. The rallies on Saturday, the big sit down with Joe Rogan on Friday, that was posted Saturday morning, I believe. And then in between all of this, of course, you've got Israel's strike on Iran. Israel's just, I mean, they have rolled up their sleeves and they are going to work. And no one's going to slow them down. No one's going to hold them back. Well, it was somewhat measured. They didn't go after the nuclear facilities, but evidently some of the missile sites were taken out. And Iran's been fairly quiet since then. Pretty amazing to see all these events happening in the world. And people overseas and here at home preparing for what seems like the inevitable. A Donald Trump return to the White House. Who could have imagined this 4 years ago? Well, we did. We did. The day that they anointed, the media anointed Joe Biden as the fake president of the United States. And we said, you know what? Trump's coming back. How many people on the left and the right just wrote him off, left him for dead? No, there's no way he's coming back. There's no way he'll ever return. I thought this was interesting from Liz Cheney as she's, wishfully thinking that, well, there's probably a lot of, secret voters that are going to secretively vote for Kamala. Listen to this, clip 7.
You certainly have had many Republicans who are speaking out to endorse her, which again is unprecedented. And there are also many Republicans and independents who are saying, look, I don't want to bring the wrath of, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance down on me. So I'm going to vote my conscience. I'm not going to talk about it. And we obviously encourage that. Your vote is a secret vote. You should do what you know is right. And I think you're going to have, frankly, a lot of men and women who will go into the voting booth and will vote their conscience, will vote for Vice President Harris. They may not ever say anything publicly, but the results will speak for themselves.
Now, I don't think that's true. I don't think there's going to be a lot of secret votes for Kamala. But what's interesting to me, again, just looking at what wouldn't have happened 3-4 years ago, there was a time not that long ago when people had to keep quiet about their support for Donald Trump. And they had to vote for him secretively. And now she's saying it's the other way around. Now it's Kamala because, well, they're scared of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump because they're, they're Hitler. They're Nazis. They're fascists. It's wishful thinking on her part. You could not have selected a worse candidate than Kamala Harris following the Joe Biden debacle in the early part of the summer. And together with her, you couldn't have handpicked a worse VP candidate than Tim Walz. You think about God's intervening to save Donald Trump from two assassination attempts. Step back for a moment. It's easy to get caught up into the hoopla. But just step back for a moment and look at the greater design here. Look at the fingerprints of God. If you haven't gotten our book, by the way, America Under Attack, make sure you request your free copy. You see the 800 number there. Also, our Trumpet magazine, Why is God Protecting This Man? This was just a couple months ago. Two assassination attempts. How did he survive it? Why did he survive it? This is from the New York Times. The New York Times' take on the rally last night. It says, at Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally in New York on Sunday, a comic dismissed Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage. Another speaker likened Kamala Harris to a prostitute with pimp handlers. And then Tucker Carlson mocked Harris with a made-up ethnicity. I find this kind of funny, too, because they told us going in, this is going to be a Nazi rally. This is 1939 all over again. And then you get to the end of it, and they're most offended by the jokes, I guess. I mean, they're super sensitive about the jokes. Can't handle the jokes coming from the Nazis. Well, which is it? Is it this angry, violent Nazi movement? Or is it the humor, the jokes that you can't stand? I don't know a lot about Hitler's rallies, but I can't imagine he was just cracking jokes right and left. The comedian, by the way, the comedian probably made the best statement of the entire evening. It went on for hours and hours and hours. I don't know anything about this guy. He's probably crass and everything else. But listen to this from his 10-minute monologue from last night. This is clip 16.
Trump survived an assassination attempt and Biden got COVID. We vote next week. God voted 3 months ago.
He's exactly right. I had to go back and check. I forgot about this. But he's right. Trump tilted his head on July 13th. That was Saturday afternoon. And then on Wednesday, Joe Biden, the fake president, he tests positive for COVID because, well, God evidently has a sense of humor as well. So Trump avoids the assassination attempt. Biden gets COVID. And then just a few days later, he has to step aside. We're going to vote, as this guy says, next week. God already made his vote. He's already cast his vote. That's what we need to see here. I mean, it's kind of funny, but there's a kernel of truth to it as well. He's right. Speaking of that assassination attempt, that exchange, Joe Rogan with Donald Trump. Donald Trump sat down with Rogan for 3 hours. You cannot imagine Kamala ever pulling anything like that off. And you know, Trump being Trump, there was some rambling here and there. And you know, it's always a challenge as an interviewer to keep him focused on what you really would like to get out of him. But you know, he prides himself in the weave. Sometimes we do the weave on this program. We weave through different subjects and try to tie it all together. That's what Trump believes he's doing. And then a lot of times he does do it. He can pull it off. He's incredibly well-informed, Donald Trump. But they spoke for 3 hours, talked about a long range of subjects. But this one in particular, where he's talking about the assassination and how that here a former president of the United States is nearly murdered. And the regime media, they just move on as if it's a non-story. Clip 17.
For being president is the most dangerous.
Especially you. I mean, you haven't even got to the election. There's been two assassination attempts, and they've brushed those out of the news like it was nothing.
Yeah, they'd rather not talk about them.
Imagine if there was assassination attempts on Biden, how hard people would be attacking the right, how they would be trying to get guns taken away from people. They would try to ramp up gun laws. They would try to figure out some way to blame you. If there was attacks on, if Biden got shot in the ear, we would have never heard the end of it.
But
he's completely right about that. We'd still be hearing all about it. We'd never hear the end of it. I mean, people are going to forget Crooks, the assassin, the would-be assassin. They're going to forget who this guy's name probably within a few months because the media has just dropped it. They just brushed it aside. Two assassination attempts in the last 3 months. Americans vote next week. God's already made his vote. I mean, we'll see what happens next Tuesday. But you can see why they're on the Nazi rally thing. Because they can't campaign. The radical left can't campaign on policy. I'll play you Kamala Harris's comment on basically mass amnesty. That's what she's suggesting for all these illegals. There's going to be no deportations under a Harris presidency, that's for sure. This is what Donald Trump had to say about FEMA using all those funds to help illegals. Well, you've got hurricane victims trying to rebuild their estates, trying to basically recover from losing everything. Clip 5.
Time to go to bed. To his and her egregious hurricane response. The worst response in North Carolina and other states since Katrina, but I think it was even worse than Katrina. They haven't even responded in North Carolina. They haven't even responded. There's nobody. They don't see any FEMA. You know why? They spent their money on bringing in illegal migrants, so they didn't have money for Georgia. and North Carolina and Alabama and Tennessee and Florida and South Carolina. They didn't have any money for them. They spent all of their money on bringing in illegal immigrants and flying them in by beautiful jet planes they flew in. We just found that about a year and a half ago. Remember, we said, what's going on? Those planes, there are a lot of planes going over there. What are they? They would fly them into the middle of our country, our beautiful, beautiful country. And you know what happened? You take a look at Springfield, Ohio.
That really drives the radical left nuts to dare criticize Kamala and Joe Biden for their hurricane relief efforts. I think I saw AOC this morning on one of the shows. I saw the clip where she said that Trump's responsible for killing 3,000 Puerto Ricans because of a hurricane that went through there a few years ago. And he didn't do enough. It's just no problem to say, hey, that man's got blood on his hands. He's a Nazi, killed 3,000 Puerto Ricans. And then then the comedian makes the joke about Puerto Rico, and all their heads explode. There's Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania. He's going to lose the Puerto Rican vote, they say, wishfully. Wishfully thinking, yet again. This is the end. This is the end for Trump in Pennsylvania. This clip from Kamala, I mean, it's just, you hear what she says at the end, and you're like, well, that's saying the quiet part out loud. But how long it takes for her to sort of, I don't know, deliver the word salad before she finally gets to saying the quiet part. That's another part of the clip that you can enjoy as well. Clip 14.
Right now, we're talking about border security, and there's nobody, no Democrat, talking about pathway to citizenship, an immigration relief, and the benefits that migrants bring to this country.
Oh, but there's no question that migrants bring, that America is a country that was built in part by immigrants.
But people are concerned about their TPS, their DACA, their... we're talking about mass deportations.
I'm not talking about.
What do you stand on mass deportations? What's your stand there?
We need smart, humane immigration policy in America that includes a pathway to citizenship.
So there you go. There's all these illegals here, 20-some million of them. And she's talking about a pathway to citizenship for all of them. Whereas Trump says, hey, we've got to deport them. We've got to get them out. I mean, even on that segment last night at 60 Minutes, the guy, I think he was a Trump supporter, used to work border security. And the reporter's like, how? I mean, just logistically, and then the billions of dollars that this will cost. And he's like, look, it's worth it for national security. Well, you're going to split up families. No, we can send families back together. There are ways to do this, in other words. We have to do this. We're being invaded. Trump said last night we're occupied. And November 5 is when all of that changes. November 5 is when we're liberated from this occupation. It's a message that, well, now even sports stars are willing to promote on national TV. They're not afraid to come out with the MAGA hat anymore. They're coming out of the closet. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're coming out of the shadows to show their support for a Nazi regime, really? John Kelly, remember, comes out with the Nazi tendencies. He gives the interview to the New York Times. Then you've got the New Yorker for its part. That was just a week ago, maybe... last Tuesday. And then, of course, a desperate Kamala campaign picks that up and runs with it. This is what she said, I believe, last Wednesday, clip 15.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution.
He wants a military that is loyal to him. He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally, one that will obey his orders even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States. In just the past week, Donald Trump has repeatedly called his fellow Americans the enemy from within, and even said that he would use the United States military to go after American citizens.
So there you go. Kamala comes out with it. And then they all, I mean, they're all going by the same talking points. So this is what? She says this 2 weeks before the election. And then for the last several days in the lead up to the Madison Square Garden event, you've got all these talking heads just, you know, hyperventilating over the fact that Hitler's coming to MSG. Hitler, it's 1939 all over again. Here's a montage we prepared, clip 19.
Trump has announced that he will be giving a speech at Madison Square Garden mm-hmm. on October the 27th. Please Google Madison Square Garden, February the 10th, 1939, and see what happened there. They are telling you exactly what they're going to do. They're telling you we're going to institute a fascist regime.
You know, one other thing that you'll see next week, Caitlin, is Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. I write about this in my book. President Franklin Roosevelt was appalled that neo-Nazis, fascists in America were lining up to essentially pledge their support for the kind of government that they were seeing in Germany.
Donald Trump has descended into madness over the last few weeks. And I think some of you don't miss on this. Go do your Google on this. Donald Trump's got this big rally going at Madison Square Garden. There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden. And don't think that he doesn't know for 1 second exactly what they're doing there.
Congressman, last night, right here in New York City, your hometown, mm-hmm. Donald Trump held a packed rally at Madison Square Garden. And a number of speakers used downright racist and offensive language. No, hours and hours of frankly, hate.
This was a hate rally. Mm-hmm. This was not just a presidential rally. This was also not just a campaign rally. I think it's very important for people to understand that these are mini January 6 rallies.
I think a lot of people are seeing that rally at Madison Square Garden, seeing all those people. Doesn't mean he's going to win the race. But my point is, it's discouraging that so many people would gather and rally to hate speech in America. That it's discouraging and it hurts. Oh my gosh. How did we get here? How did we get here?
Course.
Where a stadium right. of people come to hate.
But that jamboree happening right now, you see it there on your screen, in that place is particularly chilling because in 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed the garden for a so-called pro-America rally. A rally where speakers voiced anti-Semitic rhetoric from a stage draped with Nazi banners. When a Jewish protester rushed the stage, the Associated Press reported, quote, instantly, a dozen or more stormtroopers set upon him, knocking him down and beating him as he held his head in his arms. Most of his clothing was torn from his body. Later, he was booked for disorderly conduct. Now, against that backdrop of history, Donald Trump, the man who has threatened to use the military against opponents he calls enemies from within, who has threatened to use the troops to quell what he says are lawless cities and to use those troops to carry out mass deportations of immigrants, is once again turning Madison Square Garden into a staging ground for extremism.
How do we become so divided? The dear leader asked last week. That might be one reason why. The MSNBC running the Trump rally alongside that 1939 rally, supporting the Nazi regime. I mean, that's just despicable. These people have no shame. You know what they're signaling? Since Kamala came out after the John Kelly thing, he is bitter. Trump fired him. He's got to get Trump back. So he's saying, yeah, I used to work for a Nazi. Now, I didn't say it at the time I was working for the Nazi, but when I was working for him, he talked about his love for Hitler and Hitler's generals and the Nazi movement. And I just, you know, I had to wait and tell everyone 12 days before the election. It's just like this woman that came forward, this Democrat activist. And I think Sam mentioned this on Friday's show. She comes forward after 34 years and waits until, what, 10, 12 days before the election. Yeah, Donald Trump, he groped me. Yes, he did. I was assaulted sexually. These people have no shame. They will say and do anything to win an election. And it's astounding to me. They go on and on about Trump lying. They lie as a habit all the time. They just make it up. Sam was saying we've run the Hitler montages before. We could put them all together. I mean, we just played the one recently. Remember Chris Wallace, the discussion in January? Is it time to come out with the Trump is Hitler narrative? Is it too soon? And then the woman says at the end of our montage, it might be too late. That was in January. We could put all of our Trump is Hitler montages together and probably run about a fourth of the way through this program. There you go. The other more serious point to make from this is they are sending the message. They're sending several messages. Take him out. I know we've tried to do it twice, but if we can assassinate this man, it is justified. The other thing they're signaling, they will not accept the results of next Tuesday's election if Trump wins. They will not accept it. He's a Nazi. How can you accept that? He's a fascist. There's no way they're going to accept it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean there's definitely going to be, you know, rioting in the streets next week. But they're going to be behind closed doors working to try to thwart the forward movement of Donald Trump's presidency. They did it last time. I mean, the only difference between this time and last time is that this time it's especially vicious and violent. Last time, I mean, they were spying, they were impeaching, they were assassinating his character. This time they've tried to actually assassinate him. They'll stop at nothing. I mean, only God can clear the way for Donald Trump to return. Like the comedian said, God cast his vote 3 months ago. We knew something supernatural was happening 3 months ago. The New York Post, it quotes Elon Musk, saying, you know, MSNBC doing the side-by-side, Trump is Hitler. Musk called MSNBC the scum of the earth. That's Elon Musk. He's now talking excitedly about his position, the world's richest man now, his position in Trump's newly created Department of Government Efficiency. He says it with a smile. Heck yeah, I think I'm going to get in there and help to trim at least $2 trillion off the budget. Who talks like this in Washington, D.C.? Not a politician, you can be sure about that. Elon Musk, the world's richest man, he hated Donald Trump just a few years ago, but he loves free speech. Now he loves Trump. Now he loves the energy, the vibes, the joy at Madison Square Garden. It says Democrats have attempted to portray themselves as the party of positivity and unity. Vice President Kamala Harris tried to highlight the sentiment during her nomination acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention in August when she called for a new way forward. Whatever happened to the new way forward? Whatever happened to all the joy and the vibes? Mika's discouraged. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to win, but this is discouraging. How could so many people turn out for hate? 20,000 at the MSG arena, and then 70,000 outside. And then inside, I mean, they're cracking the jokes. They're having a party. They're dancing. And Obama, well, he doesn't quite know what to do. He's losing the billionaires. He's losing his support. He's losing the black community. This was from the Boston Herald. I mentioned it at the start of the show. A volunteer with the Massachusetts campaign to reelect former President Donald Trump was allegedly assaulted Thursday afternoon in South Boston by miners who the workers said were ticked off because he was carrying a Trump flag. See, you can't carry a Trump flag because that's a Nazi. That's a Nazi flag. So they beat him up. You can again, just looking at the rhetoric, knowing what happened on July 13 and then again on September 15, you know what's coming at some point after Trump returns. There may be a temporary resurgence, relative peace, I suppose. It's all going to revolve around God's work. You can be sure about that. God's work is what's uppermost in his mind. His work is what has to finish before Jesus can return to this earth. But he's involved. God is. He's involved in his work. He's involved in world events. You saw it visibly, obviously, on July 13. It says Brian Foley of South Boston, who's well known for flying Trump flags across Boston, said he was on his way home from a standout in the neighborhood when the miners approached him. He said one miner threatened to shoot me in the back of my head for walking around with the Trump flag. Another one took a box cutter and sliced his neck. But it's Trump and his MAGA supporters. They're the Nazis. They're the violent ones. No, from what we've seen, the violence, I mean, the real disgusting violence, there's going to be plenty on both sides to go around before it's all said and done, but the violence that the radical left has gotten away with, and in some cases they've just been slapped on the wrist. Think the Summer of Love, 2020. Who are the real fascists? This was, I don't even know why I'm playing this, but it is easily exposed as a fake narrative, a false narrative. When you just go back a few years, like Joe Rogan mentioned at the start of the podcast with Trump, you go back a few years to see just how much people adored Donald Trump. Well, here's the San Antonio Spurs coach, and he has a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. You get him on the subject of Trump, and his press conferences are liable to go for 2 hours. Here's clip 11.
So he's pathetic. He's small. He's a whiner. We all know that. But you wouldn't have him babysit your kids. You wouldn't hire him. If you had a small business, you want that man in your business? There's no way. What, were you going to vote for president? Because he's strong? I mean, because he's sick. He's a damaged man. He grew up the biggest wannabe there ever was in New York, right? We all know that. He wanted to be in the inner circle. But they laughed at him his whole life. Just like Obama made fun of him at that dinner, and he was about to melt. It angered him so bad, it was scary. But he was never accepted. He was treated like a fool, like a clown.
He was never accepted, treated like a fool and a clown. Well, who's the fool, really? Joe Rogan, it was a brilliant way to start the discussion. You know, there was a time when, you know, Joy Behar, Whoopi, all of them on The View, they loved you. They adored you. And Trump's there, yeah, I know. I remember. And he refers to this clip from 2015. I think it's just shortly before Trump came down the escalator. And you hear Barbara Walters saying, you know, some have suggested he should run for president. Well, just listen to how they greet Donald Trump and the reception he gets, not only from The View ladies, but from the audience as well. Clip 12.
Donald Trump is a billionaire, a real estate mogul, and a television star. But does he really want to add president of the United States to his resume? Yeah. A lot of people would like him to. Please, let's find out. And please welcome my friend, Donald Trump.
Hello, darling. You're right.
We're so happy to have you. Whenever you're on, with us, we're very happy.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, Hitler's in the house. Hitler's in the house. Now that's Hitler from 2015. We're so happy when you're on our show. Whoopi's kissing him. My friend Donald Trump, the crowd goes nuts. The crowd goes wild. You know, as I was watching that, it just made me think of so many of those old clips of Donald Trump from back in the 1980s, back in the early 1990s. He's talking about how the United States is getting ripped off and we need tariffs and this, that. I mean, everybody grows. Everybody changes their views or you know, just in maybe tiny ways here and there over the years. Maybe you learn from mistakes. But, you know, there's also a consistency that you see in that old archival footage of Donald Trump, who made the rounds back in the day, long before this one here. And in so many ways, his message is the same. America first. Why do we tolerate getting ripped off by China or Japan or whoever? We've got to put America first. And here he comes with a message, you know, we want to end the war in Ukraine. We want to settle things down in the Middle East. We want to secure our border. We want to take care of our problems at home. Fascism? Seriously? That's a fascist message? But the thing about the archival footage for all of these talking heads, their own footage exposes their false, fake narratives of today. That was a clip not even 10 years ago that shows how much they loved Donald Trump. They wanted Donald Trump to run for president. You heard Barbara Walters say it. It's unbelievable. Joe Scarborough, Mika, listen to some of the exchanges they had with Donald Trump in 2015. Now it's looking like he might actually win this. We've got a turn on him. And they did. Oh, they did. And now here we are today. It shows how corrupt these talking heads are. Yeah, I don't have time to play it, but you had the back and forth with J.D. Vance and Jake Tapper. Vance dropping a truth bomb on it and saying basically, hey, you guys, I mean, there's nothing, Tapper, you know, in the very serious tones, there's nothing about this that seems fascist to you? No, said J.D. Vance. And by the way, you're with the organization that promoted the false, fake narrative about the Russia collusion hoax. And Jake Tapper, for his part, just says, hey, we were just reporting on the FBI investigation. No, said J.D. Vance. No, you took what those leakers and everybody was saying, and you ran with the FBI narrative. You didn't criticize it. You weren't skeptical. You had an agenda. Jake Tapper got a little hot under the collar. Their own footage, in some cases from just a few months ago, but certainly a few years ago, their own footage exposes these many lies. I don't have time to get into anything else. Even when I'm not 100%, we still can move through this very fast. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.